Harper Audio presents Snuff, a novel of Discworld, by Terry Pratchett, performed by Stephen Briggs. The goblin experience of the world is the cult, or perhaps religion, of Ungu. In short, it is a remarkably complex resurrection-based religion founded on the sanctity of bodily secretions. Its central tenet runs as follows. Everything that is expelled from a goblin's body was clearly once part of them, and should, therefore, be treated with reverence and stored properly, so that it can be entombed with its owner in the fullness of time. In the meantime, the material is stored in Ungu pots, remarkable creations of which I shall speak later. A moment's distasteful thought will tell us that this could not be achieved by any creature unless in possession of great wealth, considerable storage space, and compliant neighbours. Therefore, in reality, most goblins observe the Ungu had, what one might term the common and lax form of Ungu, which encompasses earwax, finger and toenail clippings, and snot. Water, generally speaking, is reckoned as not Ungu, but something which goes through the body without ever being part of it. They reason that there is no apparent difference in the water before and after, as it were, which sadly shines a light on the freshness of the water they encounter in their underground lairs. Similarly, feces are considered to be food that has merely undergone a change of state. Surprisingly, teeth are of no interest to the goblins, who look on them as a type of fungus, and they appear to attach no importance to hair, of which, it has to be said, they seldom have very much. At this point, Lord Veterinari, patrician of Ankh-Morpork, stopped reading and stared at nothing. After a few seconds, nothing was eclipsed by the form of Drumknot, his secretary, who, it must be said, had spent a career turning himself into something as much like nothing as anything. Drumknot said, "You look pensive, my lord," to which observation he appended a most delicate question mark, which gradually evaporated. "Awash with tears, Drumknot, awash with tears." Drumknot stopped dusting the impeccably shiny black lacquered desk. "Pastor Oates is a very persuasive writer, isn't he, sir?" "Indeed he is, Drumknot. But the basic problem remains, and it is this. Humanity may come to terms with the dwarf, the troll, and even the orc, terrifying though all these may have proved to be at times. And you know why this is, Drumknot?" The secretary carefully folded the duster he had been using and looked at the ceiling. "I would venture to suggest, my lord, that in their violence we recognise ourselves." "Oh, well done, Drumknot. I shall make a cynic of you yet. Predators respect other predators, do they not? They may perhaps even respect the prey. The lion may lie down with the lamb, even if only the lion is likely to get up again. But the lion will not lie down with the rat. Vermin, Drumknot, an entire race reduced to vermin." Lord Veterinari shook his head sadly, and the ever-attentive Drumknot noticed that his lordship's fingers had now gone back, for the third time that day, to the page headed Ungu Pots, and he seemed, quite unusually, to be talking to himself as he did so. "These are traditionally crafted by the goblin itself, out of anything from precious minerals to leather, wood or bone. Among the former are some of the finest eggshell-thin containers ever found in the world. The plundering of goblin settlements by treasure hunters in search of these, and the retaliation by the goblins themselves, has coloured human-goblin relationships even to the present day." Lord Veterinari cleared his throat and continued. "I quote Pastor Oates again, Drumknot. I must say that goblins live on the edge, often because they have been driven there. When nothing else can survive, they do. Their universal greeting is, apparently, hang, which means survive. I know dreadful crimes have been laid at their door, but the world itself has never been kind to them. Let it be said here that those who live their lives where life hangs by less than a thread understand the dreadful algebra of necessity, which has no mercy, and when necessity presses in extremis, well, that is the time when the women need to make the Ungu pot called Soul of Tears, the most beautiful of all."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?